Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. It's a special assembly meeting today to address emergency ordinance 2020-22. It was July 24th, and it's 4 p.m. I would ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Mark?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Brandy?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Chelsea?
Here.
Taylor?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
Okay, just for the public listening, there are four assembly members today present in the assembly chambers, along with the clerk, Member Staten Greger, Member Morrell, Member Lynn, and myself, Mayor Jensen, are present. And calling in is Assembly Member Mucci, Norheim, and Trimbley. So with that being said, is there any amendments to today's meeting agenda? And if there isn't, I would ask for a motion to approve the meeting agenda as presented.
So moved.
So moved.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the meeting agenda as presented. Are there any amendments? Okay, all those in favor of moving forward with the agenda as presented, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, that brings us to item three on today's agenda, and that's persons to be heard. And during your testimony, just address the whole assembly, please. Don't make comments about one assembly member's position on anything. And please be civil and stay on the topic. And you have a five-minute time period, and I will ask the clerk to please time the conversation. So, Clerk Thompson, can you have the operator unmute the first person?
Yes. Kevin, if you could please unmute Peter this time.
Thank you. That line's open.
Yeah, this is Pete Litzheim. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Can you hear us all right on this end?
Yeah, it sounds really good.
Hey, okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I want to thank you guys for doing what you do, but at the same time, I want to let my opinion be known that I feel a lot of people today, locally and in the whole nation, probably the whole world, are just being driven a little bit too severely by fear and lack of unknown, and I really want to say that everybody should just calm down, take a breath of fresh air, and try to just realize that unanimity or the agreement of all is definitely not the day we live in. And so I would say be very careful not to create through decisions that you might be able to make as an assembly with unanimity when, for a fact, there is no unanimity in the community, not in the nation, not in Petersburg. And there's a lot of information out there. And one of the problems is we tend to gravitate to what we want to know and what we want to hear and what we want to understand. And therefore, the truth is I know one of your assembly members put out here last week informational of, and I saw it all as, you know, yeah, it's information, but it I wasn't in agreement with it. And it didn't sound like what I've been learning. So back to my point, we gather our information from the wells that we agree with and we believe are the best or the most accurate. And so I'm just saying at this time, I would ask you not only to not do anything with our emergency plan, but not even on a temporary basis to do anything with it. And I'm not for masking our community or causing this situation to become more than just what it already is. And so thank you for letting me have a few words of comment, and don't be afraid. You know, this is not everything that it's blown out to be. And if it was, then we'd see those facts in China. I believe the United States became worse than China, supposedly, but why is that? Maybe there's not the right information yet. But eventually, historically speaking, we probably will look back on this and say, oh, it wasn't really what any of us thought. But I definitely do not think it's a time for more severe action. And I just, the things that will create when people start telling people what to do about, you know, the other people's safety. And I think our health is all our own responsibility. And that's just my two bits. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for your testimony today, Mr. Litzheim. And I will ask the clerk to have the operator unmute the next person, please.
Thank you. Kevin, if you could please unmute Amanda Omer.
That line is open.
Hi there. First off, I just want to say thank you to the mayor and all of our assembly members. I know that your job is easy. I know that, you know, time is money and time is love. And the fact that each and every one of you give up your time to put into our community, you know, and the people of Petersburg doesn't go unnoticed. And no matter how much I agree or disagree with anyone, I certainly respect every one of you for the jobs that you're doing. You know, I would like to first say that I have some serious questions about, you know, the stuff that I read about meetings being valid or invalid. You know, we had an emergency ordinance, you know, that expired allowing for call-ins. And, you know, the intent was to continue them. The intent was this, the intent was that. You know, I question whether anything after that was valid. The fact that you know, we're told that because we didn't object, the meetings are then valid. You know, not everybody knows the ins and outs of you know, the assembly and the meetings and how the things should be run. And so to go back and say that because, you know, we didn't object, you know, that doesn't do well to garnish trust, I guess. You know, I would object today to any meeting that doesn't fall within you know, the proper guidelines. You know, secondly, I would like to say that back in March, when the original emergency ordinance was put in there, you know, I think it was valid. It was an emergency. We were all scared. You know, February, March were scary times for everybody. We didn't know what to expect from this virus. We didn't know, you know, where it was going to go, what it was going to do. We shut down our businesses. We shut down our lives. We stayed home. We social distanced. We masked. We did everything that we could, and it worked. I think it worked here in Petersburg. I think it worked over in Juneau, and I think it worked up there in Anchorage. If you look at where we are right now with our numbers, with our hospital beds available, with our ICU beds available, with our ventilators available, our hospitals in Alaska are not overwhelmed because of this virus. Our mortality rate has not climbed, and while the cases do, hospitalizations and mortalities do not. And so I don't feel that an extension of any temporary emergency ordinance to this extent is required at this time. We have one already in place to cover things. You know, I keep hearing, well, you know, this is this is in case of any kind of an emergency, tsunamis or earthquakes or mudslides. Well, I'll tell you what, here in Petersburg, we've been dealing with tsunami warnings for a long, long time. And back when they used to just come door to door and knock and tell you to go to higher ground, we still all got where we needed to be and did what we had to do. I don't think that the additional language has anything to do with anything outside of our current COVID situation. And I don't think that where we are right now with all our heated division in our community, it's the time to put in for this temporary ordinance, which really is just the permanent ordinance that we so much, you know, that everybody disagrees on so heavily. I would object. I would say leave the one that we have currently in place. I understand that the wording needs to be changed because we're a borough, but there's a time and a place for everything, and adding additional powers that I believe are an overreach altogether. I don't think now is the time at all to do it, and I disagree. I disagree highly with this temporary and then the permanent one that we were voting on in September. Thanks again so much for your time. I appreciate all that you do.
Okay, thank you for your testimony today, Ms. Zillmer. And with that, I would ask the clerk to have the operator unmute the next caller, please.
Thank you, Kevin. If you could please unmute Vinton Woodyard.
One moment. And Mr. Woodward's line is open.
Pardon?
Please state your name and who you represent.
I'm Vint Woodyard, and I represent myself. And I would just like to say that I would reiterate what Ms. Palmer has said regarding the masking situation. I do not think it's required. We've only had two new cases, and those have been taken care of, and nothing serious in the community that would warrant other than just that. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony today. Clerk, will you please ask the operator to unmute the next speaker?
Yes, Kevin, please unmute Michael Truex.
Thank you. And that line is open.
Yeah, hi, I'm Michael Truex, and we and our family have some thoughts. Back in March, before the ratification of the first shelter-in-place order, we were told that great amounts of sickness and death were imminent. It didn't happen. Now in July, are we suddenly spiking 10, 20, or 50 COVID cases a day here on Mitkoff Island? No. So why the new emergency order, empowering officials to declare emergency, set curfews, and place 90-day jail sentences on those who disagree? Well, here's a question. Under what conditions would we have less of a local emergency than we do right now? I'm not talking about an emergency in California, New York. I'm talking about here on Mitkoff Island. That's the place where this emergency order is going to be issued. Under what grounds would this order be lifted? What would it take? How would we get less of an emergency than we have right now in order to lift this temporary emergency order? That's the question. Now, here's the challenge. If you govern for the people, and I think you do, I trust all of you. I have a lot of faith in you guys, and I know you mean well. But if you govern for the people, then put this order to a public vote. Let the citizens decide. If we, the people, hand you these powers, won't you feel much, much better using them? Thanks. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for your testimony. Can we please unmute the next speaker?
Yes. Kevin, if you could please unmute Susan Burrell, please.
That line is open.
Good afternoon, Assembly. I wasn't going to speak, but I will. This is Susan Burrell, and I'm calling for myself and my son. I just have to say your actions in having an emergency meeting to put into effect, however temporary, an ordinance that we all just agreed upon would be postponed until September 21st, 2020, is a blatant affront to the citizens of Petersburg. It screams to us that we do not matter. It tells us our opinions don't matter. It shows us your total disregard for us. If the old ordinance is the same, why change it? Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you for your testimony. Can we unmute the next speaker, please?
I do not have any other speakers, Mayor Jensen.
So that is it for public testimony. So that brings us to item four, new business, and that's ordinance 2020-22, an emergency ordinance amending borough code chapter 3.72 to provide for civil emergency provisions. I would entertain a motion to approve this emergency ordinance.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Stanton Greger. So that brings us to discussion. Any assembly members present in the room have any input? Member Stanton Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was hoping, I've spent a lot of time talking to Director Hagerman and Chris Thompson about this. I was wondering if Director Hagerman could elaborate on why this is before us today. I know we spoke about it a bit at the last meeting. This wasn't something secret that was brought up. We talked about it at the last meeting. So I was wondering if Director Hagerman could explain to those listening at home why this is important for us to pass this today.
Mr. Hagerman, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, can you give your input?
Sure, thank you. So the ordinance that's in front of the assembly today is much the same as the ordinance that the borough has been operating on since March for the last 4 months. It is an ordinance that is an expansion of the emergency ordinance that had been on the books for the city of Petersburg for many years. And the new version of the ordinance reduces violations to fines instead of a charge and misdemeanor. It reiterates the ability of the borough manager as the borough CEO to declare an emergency disaster. And it provides the assembly, the manager, and the incident commander the ability to issue mandates for the protection of life and property. These are all important aspects of an emergency response, and I agree with the callers. Petersburg is doing very well right now, and thank goodness for that. We have very low numbers. The risk to the from the positive cases that we've seen recently is very low, and you know, all the work that we've done as a community is really helping us out. But the pandemic is not over. In fact, you know, the case counts in Alaska are the highest that they've been since the outset of the pandemic, and they're rising rapidly. One thing that we should be able to learn about this pandemic, because we're learning things every day, is that a lot of the current hotspots in Lower 48 are in areas where the government has opened things up, complacency set in, or the feeling that it can't happen here was pervasive. And, excuse me, that's a situation where we don't have any control over that. You know, the virus is going to decide when it's done, and I think it's important for the borough to have the mechanism in place to respond if it does get really bad. Today, if we based all of our decisions on where we're at today, then there would be no need for this. I could go back to my normal job. We could shut down the EOC, and we could all be happy. But I hope everybody in the assembly and in the community can see that the pandemic is not over, and the case counts in our state do reflect that. We just need to be prepared to take action if needed. And it's all about protecting life and property, this ordinance is. think that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl, for explaining that to those listening.
Thank you, Mr. Hagerman. More assembly discussion. Is there any discussion?
If there's not, Mr. Mayor, I have a change, an amendment I'd like to make to it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Under 3.72.040, the second sentence where it talks about any proclamation issued pursuant to this chapter shall have the force of law and shall supersede any conflicting provision of law. I would like to, at that point, I would like to insert borough law. And that gets at some of the caller's concerns that we're going much broader than just the borough, and this was really intended for the borough. This has been vetted by our borough attorney for your information.
I'll second that motion, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so a motion's been made, and that's under 3.72.040. Is that at the bottom of the first paragraph? Is that where?
Yeah, where it says, bottom of the first paragraph, the second sentence there, where it says, any proclamation issued, and then go on to say where it says, issued pursuant to this chapter shall have the force of law and shall supersede any conflicting provision of law. Where it says, of law, I want to insert borough law. An emergency declared pursuant to this chapter.
Okay, so that motion's been made to change that language by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Mucci. Is there discussion on that proposed change? Anybody on the phone? Member Tremblay, Norheim, or Mucci, any discussion?
Sounds good.
Member, no. And, yeah, I thought there was this what the attorney was talking about today, Clerk Thompson, and saying that there would be some confusion?
That's if we, what the resident had requested was that we put in a definition of law that meant in this ordinance borough law, but because the word law is used in different contexts that wouldn't work. So the attorney suggested adding this here, and the resident was happy with that solution.
Okay, just wanted clarification because there's been a lot of emails coming today to
yes.
try to digest. So any other discussion on the amendment? If not, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes. Okay, so that amendment changes the language in the end of the first paragraph in section 3.72.040. Is there any other discussion or proposed amendment? Member Moreau.
Yeah, I would like to make an amendment. And we previously had, and I can't find it, where Carl had suggested adding upon assembly approval, since that was a big bone of contention with a lot of the public to give that much authority to somebody. And I can't find where that email was, where he pointed out the couple places that we could add that language.
Interject for a minute. Wasn't Clerk Thompson, wasn't that added, that language added to this version?
It was not. But I could go find that if you would like to pause for a moment.
So if I, for a little clarity, I believe what Member Malone was talking about is the assembly, and I believe that was an amendment that Member Lynn made.
The motion
is this,
made.
Is this something different?
Yes. We motioned to postpone before we got those amendments last time.
Yes.
Yeah, and I didn't have it with me, so
I can't find it either. Sorry.
So the one amendment we did make was the assembly has the authority to approve or disapprove the incident commander.
Yes.
If I've
done already, correct.
Yes, that has been done already. So And Member Moreau, what were you trying to?
These ones were ones that Carl had suggested to add in upon assembly approval. So that.
I got it.
Do you got it? I couldn't find it in my email.
No worries. Be patient.
We're going to bear with us here. We're going to get find the email that was. This was, I think, in a document from Mr. Hagan was proposed.
Yes.
Thorough action.
So that would be in, remember all, like, or something's going to give it to you. Something's your deal. Cool.
Yeah, that works.
We're adding assembly on about
4. You know what I'm talking about?
So, yeah, so it's on under
3.72.060,
and then it breaks under A and then under A1, pretty much under all of them. Under it just says
that one's already done.
And then it's with assembly approval, and then 1 with assembly approval, 2.
It was under 4, I believe.
Yeah, then for 3, 4, and then those were those. I think those were the 4 spots, right?
Yeah.
I think those
are 4, right?
Yep, and then,
it is.
Well, not that
was it. We already got that one. Oh, gosh, sorry. Yep, those are the 3 on numbers 1, 2.
3 and 4.
Correct.
Yes. That's
3 and 4.
Yes.
So I've...
but I don't have a second yet, so.
Get the motion. Yeah, right. Member Moreau made a motion to amend this section of the document to add assembly approval.
With assembly approval.
Yes. Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second it.
Motion's been seconded by Member Lynn. And what that does is under 3.72.060A, I believe.
Nope, the A is already wired into this.
Okay, it is. So it's sections 1, 2, 3, and 4. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, to add that language in those sections 1, 2, 3, and 4. So a motion was made by Member Moreau, seconded by Member Lynn. Any discussion on a proposed amendment to add that language into this emergency ordinance?
Thank you.
Member Stanton Gregor.
Yeah, I mean, if it pleases the assembly, I feel fine adding it. I don't believe it. Necessary, but you know, Director Hagan brought that to us and as another option to, you know, provide safeguards for members of the public that would be concerned about civil liberties, etc. So I have no problem with it since the director, our incident commander, is comfortable with it.
Member Lynn.
Yeah, to go along with that, I think it also helps. From the standpoint that that's the way that our current incident commander has been operating, and I think what it does is it helps enforce that if any future event that comes about, that it would be operating the same way. It makes a lot of sense to me to do that.
So,
I have a question.
Member Tremblay.
It's still correct that if the incident commander were to institute any of these changes, the assembly would be able to undo it at any time, correct?
I believe that is correct.
Okay. Because my question on this, like, I understand people's thoughts on this, but my question is, the point of this is an emergency ordinance for fast response times to situations outside of what is expected. And so, I guess, you know, again, this is a temporary ordinance, and so whatever this is will be for the next 60 days. But as far as overall emergency responsiveness, our ability to assemble a quorum under normal circumstances is problematic. Under emergency situations can be even more so. And so I would just ask that we consider the fact that we can undo any of the statements, any of the motions made in a very short amount of, you know, if that were to happen in a way that we felt was maybe biased or inappropriate, to me, that is the check. And so compromising our ability to respond quickly to a situation, to me, does a disservice to the idea of emergency response and of having the ability to respond in a timely manner. So I just wanted to say that out loud because I think that that's important for us to consider when we get to the permanent one.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? Member Mucci, Member Norheim?
No, not anybody
in the Assembly Chambers have any more comments? So what this does, just for the people listening, is under these imposition of orders, that's what this section is, and section one, impose a curfew. So I would imagine that's where this language would be inserted, with the approval of the Assembly. Order the following to close and remain closed until further order for the period of the emergency for businesses, et cetera. And that would probably be where the language would be inserted. Prohibit gatherings, and that would be to a specific number, and that would be with Assembly approval if this amendment passes. And call regular and auxiliary law enforcement agencies and organizations within or without the borough to assist, and that would be with Assembly approval if this amendment passes. So that, just for the listening public, is what we are talking about, and hopefully you have the document, and we're trying to look along as well. Member Lynn?
Yeah, one other point along those. The reason that I believe that Carl picked those four is because those were longer-term things. They weren't things that would these things would stay in place for a longer period of time. And I believe that this is one where it would be really good from an incident commander standpoint that the Assembly weigh in on.
So I guess if this amendment passed and if this emergency ordinance passes with that language in it, the incident commander, Mr. Hagerman, in this case, would have to propose these rules to be put in place, and that they'd have to bring it to a special meeting of the Assembly, I would imagine, and to vote on it. So that is the added language, then would maybe add some comfort to the people that are opposed to this. If there's no other comments or discussion by the Assembly, I'll ask the clerk to call roll on this amendment.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Chelsea?
No.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Taylor?
Are you still with us, Member Norheim?
Sorry, I'm still here, yes.
That's fine. Okay, so that amendment passes with a 6-1 vote with Member Tremblay opposed, and that brings us back to the main motion supporting Emergency Ordinance 2020-22 with the two amendments we've made. Is there any other proposed amendments or any other discussion by Assembly?
Yeah, I have an amendment. I don't know how long I'm going to have the cell service, so I figure I should get this, at least this one out of the way. I would propose that under Section 37270, compliance with official orders during period of emergency, violations and penalties, that we remove Section D.
I think we're all in the room looking to read the section. You said 372.070 Section B, correct?
Oh, D. D as in dog.
Oh, D. Oh,
violation.
So get rid of the
section shall be as
follows. Get rid of the fine schedule is basically what that is.
Yeah.
Okay, give us a second to digest it. And maybe... So Member Norheim proposed an amendment to remove Section D from 3.72.070. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Second's been made by Member Morrell. So just for the listening public, if you don't have a document you're reading, violation of this section shall be as follows. That's Section D, header, headline. One, when committed, intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly, a Class B misdemeanor punishable by a fine not to exceed the sum of $2,000 or by imprisonment for a term not to exceed 90 days or both. Two, when committed without any culpable mental state, a strict liability violation subject to a fine as provided in the fine schedule set forth in Section 1.16.030 of the Borough Code. If the offense is not listed in the fine schedule, the person must appear in court and shall be punished by imposition of a fine in accordance with Section 1.16.010. So that is what we are discussing. That is the proposed amendment, is to remove that language. Any other discussion?
Member Norheim made the motion. Can he explain his thinking on it so that we can further process it?
Can you explain your thought on this, Member Norheim, please, before you get out of, you might have to put your boat in neutral. But.
Right, yeah. So the thought there is, so we're in an emergency situation. Okay. If we are dealing with a normal emergency or whatever it may be, it's said that, you know, like 7 days is probably as much as any normal emergency is going to last. All of our police are going to be busy with dealing with whatever it may be, probably, except for in this particular case. And probably the fire department and all those people are going to be doing stuff. Are we really going to be running around trying to arrest people and fining them in a normal disaster emergency type situation? I mean, because that's what I'm seeing here. And right now, we don't exactly have a lot of money going around. So people really don't like seeing $2,000 fines, potentially, and 90-day jail terms. That would be Lemon Creek hanging over their heads for what? I mean, and I see what's getting thrown around is we're not wearing a mask, and no, this doesn't send it. And that's another thing that annoys me. But we'll stay on topic here. But I just don't see these hefty fines and punishments helping any. It's kind of a cause of tension, it seems like. And I feel like if you just get rid of these and we just go about the rest of this as, well, we're here and we think this is a good idea and we believe you should do these things. If there is an emergency going on and things are a little dire looking, people will do that thing. You don't need to, you know, force compliance. You will do this or you will go to jail or you will be fined. But the last penny that you have now, it's not helpful. And I think it needs to be.
Okay, thank you, Member Norheim. Member Lynn?
Yeah, I got a question. If you remove that section, then to me you need to remove Section 4 at the same time, fine amounts, because you've given up your authority to fine at all. You have, and so you have no teeth to do anything, essentially. That's the way reading this.
Okay, Member Stanton Greger.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be voting no on this amendment, and here's why. First off, you know, when we had emergency mandates in place in March and April, folks were very worried about being fined, not wearing a mask or whatever during that time. And, of course, our cops are not heavy-handed and no fines were ever issued. And I would not want them to be for that, so that's neither here nor there. The one part that does jump out at me, though, and it's a slightly dramatic example for Petersburg, so bear with me, is, you know, watching the news of, like, Seattle, Portland, et cetera, like, if on the off chance our community did have, like, rioting and looters, and again, this is Petersburg, so it's, I'm reaching a bit. That said, you would want to be able to charge them with the crime. We would, to hinder our law enforcement to execute their duties in that situation would be ludicrous, and that wouldn't constitute as a civil emergency, and we'd want them to, like, as a community, we'd all agree, we would want those people dealt with. Wouldn't want to see our downtown, you know, windows being broken, et cetera. And again, I don't see any of that happening in Petersburg, but that's why I can't support that amendment, because there are certain cases where that would make a lot of sense. And again, our cops have shown no desire to be heavy-handed. They're trying to be good neighbors just like everyone else. I think keeping that language in there is just an insurance policy for the borough. That's my two cents.
Can I respond to that?
Oh, I was just going to say, those are already I mean, are there crimes if you're looting? And so I don't see where there's where that would be only of with an emergency state. I mean, that's a crime regardless if you're out, committing arson and vandalizing. And so I don't see where that comes into play here. But I would like some clarification on if that we remove that the section where you would have prison time or up to $2,000, does that mean that you're an SCW? Does that mean that that you wouldn't be able to implement or to fine anybody at all?
Yes, I believe it does. Yes.
Okay, Member Norheim, you wanted to comment?
I was just basically what Brandy said is I'm fairly certain rioting, arson, vandalization, destruction of property is already a crime. So I don't see, that argument doesn't hold water with me. And to what Bob had said there about removing Section 4, I wasn't sure. Again, I'm out on the boat. I couldn't get a hold of the lawyer. I haven't been talking to the lawyer because I'm out on the boat. I'm working. So if Section 4 does also need to go, I don't know. I was just scratching things down. Well, I didn't have cell service. So, but yeah, no, that's it.
Okay, thank you, Member Norheim. I have one question of the clerk. And this was touched on briefly a minute ago. So, Clerk Thompson, in your opinion, if D was removed, if this amendment passes, would that also just alleviate or do away with Section 4 fine amounts?
I believe it would, and the reason I say that is that if this is under 070, which says compliance with official orders during emergency, violations, and penalties, you go A, B, and C, which basically says no person shall, blah, 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 blah. And then if we get rid of D, that is the fine section. So we can say no person shall do all of these things, but basically removing D, I believe, also removes Section 4 from 1.16030 because we do not have a way to fine violators with the removal of Section D. That's my opinion. I could certainly run it by the attorney as well, but right now that's the way it looks to me.
It appears like it should, but Mr. Mayor?
It cites 3.72-070. The Section 4 cites its previous, the Section D. So the citation makes it pretty clear that we would give up our fine abilities.
Yes.
Okay, thank you for pointing that out, Member Tremblay. Member Mucci, you had a you wanted to interject?
I just had a question, Mr. Mayor. If we're talking about, removing parts and if people are hung up on the $2,000 amount, could we change this to have that fine not to exceed the sum of $500 to mirror Section 4 under the fine amount? Thank you.
I would think if you wanted to make that discussion, you would have to amend the amendment to either that or we vote on this. Well, if it's voted on and it goes away, then you probably can't. It won't be there to amend it. That is my thought on it. If you want to change the amount and still keep a $500 fine in the ordinance, then I think it would take an amendment to the proposed amendment we're discussing now, if I'm not mistaken.
Just a comment on that. The current ordinance we have in place is $1,000.
The former city one
is almost verbatim like this is and has $1,000, and I don't remember the second part on it. It was
jail time.
Yeah, there was. I don't think that changed, did it, Debbie? I don't think the jail time changed.
I don't think it changed either, but I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah.
Positive.
So with that being said, if we pass this amendment,
Mr. Mayor,
we don't pass.
Mr. Mayor, this is Steve.
Hang on one second. yeah, even if this doesn't pass, we go back to the city, former city ordinance, and that still has a $100,000 fine on it, rather. So, Member Norheim?
Yes.
Was this Steve?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I didn't...
I just wanted to point something out. It's not an argument one way or the other, but in reading D, there's one, number one and number two. Number one clearly sets out basically saying if someone was being a super jerk, you know, intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly, you know, violating the rule, that's where the $2,000 comes in. If you look at the end of that section one, it says or. And then it goes to number two, which is where the lower fines come into play. So it's basically saying, if someone's doing stuff on purpose, you can throw the book at them. If they're just making a mistake, not understanding what they're supposed to do, you can write them these violations, which are the lower fines as outlined in the fine amounts. I'm not going to weigh in on whether you could delete the whole section and still have fines, but it's clear, as I read it, that number one there is really... It's saying somebody's fined under that if they're, you know, really purposely trying to do something versus number two where, you know, you Hollywood a stop sign is would be an example. That's a violation. All right, that was it.
Okay, yeah, that is kind of spelled out right there, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Any other discussion by assembly members? There's somebody in the background, but I don't ask people anybody. I don't hear anybody asking to get the floor. So,
with your echo.
Oh, with that being said, we're voting on Member Norheim's amendment to remove Section D. Violation of this section shall be as follows, and it talks about what you'd have to do to get fined at different levels. So, with the discussion, will the clerk call the roll on this proposed amendment?
Chelsea?
No.
Jay?
No.
Taylor?
Yes.
Brandy?
No.
Mark?
No.
Bob?
No.
Jeff?
No.
Okay, so with that being that amendment fails with a 6-1 vote with Member Norheim voting in favor of it. So that brings us back to the main motion on Ordinance 2020-22 as amended. We've made two amendments today, if I've got my notes right. Any other discussion on the main motion as amended?
I have one more. It would be to amend Section 3.72.060, imposition of orders during period of emergency. And it would be to remove numbers 2 and 3.
Okay, those orders the Member Norheim is proposing to remove with this proposed amendment is order the following to close and remain closed until further order for the period of the emergency, and that now was worded with approval of the assembly. What was your second one, Member Norheim? Sorry.
Number two and three for the gatherings of persons in excess of a specified number.
Okay, so those are the two items, two and three, Member Norheim is proposing on moving. Both of these have had language added to them that they need assembly approval before they could be imposed. Is there a second for this motion? Hearing none, the proposed amendment fails. That brings us back to the main motion on Ordinance 2020-22 as amended. Any other discussion on the amendment, on the motion as amended? But the ordinance has amended.
I have one last one, and it's just a wording thing, real easy. It would be under B of that same one. It says a statement of the facts. B, number one, a statement of the facts upon which the order is based. And I would just have it changed to a statement of the known facts. upon which the order is based, because obviously the facts have been changing frequently with this particular outbreak.
I'm trying to find exactly in the document where that's at.
Again, number Norhan, I'm sorry.
It's under the imposition of orders during period of emergency, and it is letter B. It's about halfway down the page, and it's number one, a statement of fact, and just change it to a statement of the known facts, just to, I mean, again.
So you would just like to add a word, the statement of known facts, instead of just the statement of the facts?
Yes, because they have been changing.
Is there a second to that proposed amendment to add known, like the fifth word under section B1?
Mr. Mayor, sure. I'll second that.
Okay, there's been a second by Member Mucci to add the word known under of the facts. So it state, now it states a statement of the facts upon which the order is based. If this amendment passes, it'll be a statement of the known facts upon which the order is based. So, anyway, discussion on that proposal and on that amendment. Clerk, call the roll.
Jeff?
Yes.
Jay?
No.
Taylor?
Yes.
Chelsea?
No.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Okay, that proposed amendment changes and adding one word in section B1, and with members Stanton Greger and Tremblay opposed. So that brings us back to the main motion on ordinance, special ordinance 2020-22, with the former amendments. Is there any other discussion on this ordinance as amended? Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Taylor.
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Ramsey?
No.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
Jay?
Yes. Okay, so special ordinance 2020-22 passes 4-3 with members Norheim, Morrell, and myself opposed, Mayor Jensen. So this ordinance is effective immediately with the proposed amendments, the voted on amendments. So thanks everybody for listening, and entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion been made, seconded to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, the motion's adjourned. The meeting's adjourned.